Changes in labour laws, which became effective at the beginning of this year, and mass retrenchments across various sectors have resulted in the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration, the CCMA, having a far higher caseload than expected for the 2018-2019 financial year. This was revealed yesterday when the Labour Dispute Resolution Body released its annual report. Well, to tell us more, I'm joined on the line by Cameron Morajane. He's the director at the CCMA. Thanks very much, Cameron, for joining us on the show. You note that you saw a significant jump in the caseload that you're seeing. Just give us a breakdown of the kind of complaints that you receive and also why you think that there was this big spike in complaints.
It's largely 71% of those cases relate to unfair dismissals. That's the greatest complaints that we get.
Mm-hmm.
That employees are being unfairly dismissed. It constitutes 71%, which is the biggest portion of the caseload that we have.
Yes.
Secondly, the spike in the caseload, there's two reasons for it. One, the ordinary cases grow year by year by 5%, right? But what doubled that, almost tripled that, was the introduction of the minimum wage. And the minimum wage did not come alone. It came with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act.
Yes.
So our jurisdiction, effectively, is affected by those that are aggrieved that they are not being paid what is prescribed by the Minimum Wage Act, which is the 11, 15 and 18 in different categories, the 11 being for the public works employees, 15 for the domestic workers, 18 for the farm workers. And generally, anyone outside those categories is 29.
Yes. So why do you think there's been almost a misinterpretation of the law by employers in relation to the national minimum wage? Is it a case of people still campaigning or complaining that they can't afford to pay the minimum wage?
The main issue that we get, firstly, is that there are people who do not know that if you cannot afford a minimum wage, you can apply for exemption.
Yes.
Right? Number two, there are people who are entitled to minimum wage, but they do not know. There are others who do know that they're entitled to the minimum wage, but they are unable to exercise it out of fear of reprisal.
Yes.
Right? There are those who want to exercise that, but they are not accessed by the inspectors because of the nature of the work. To give an example, you have a domestic worker who is in a private home, but by law, that's a workplace.
Yes.
But you can't just enter a private home. And the agricultural sector has said, to enter a farm, there are certain rules and procedures that need to be followed.
Yes.
And the biggest complaints we get and where the allegations of abuse in the farms, the inspectors, if an allegation is made, they need to access the farms. But the problem you have is knowing what the rules are to access the farm workers. In some cases, I remember I was called to answer in Parliament at some point, where parliamentarians accessed certain vulnerable workers after they raised their complaints and left, they were dismissed afterwards.
So
the fear factor is a problem also.
Yes.
And access is the biggest problem. Knowledge of the right is a big problem. But the knowledge, even if you know, but the execution, the fear of reprisal is the biggest issue.
So when it came to potential retrenchments, you say that you dealt with over 38,000 complaints, which is a really scary figure. But somehow you managed to save close on 16,000 jobs. Yes,
Correct. In the process.
How did you achieve that? What sort of negotiations or concessions did you get employers to try and make?
This is what happens. When a large-scale dismissal is proposed by the employer, they request a facilitator from the CCMA to assist, and then you deploy a commissioner to engage. The type of concessions you get depends on the reason for the retrenchment. In the majority of cases, as you can see now, especially like the banks, it is the fourth industrial revolution issue. And sometimes when people are hit by the fourth industrial revolution, they do not know that it is the 4IR that has hit them. I do not think that, as a country, possibly, we have prepared ourselves for that.
Yes.
Because the way we're discussing it now, and if I look at the nature of the disputes that we have, especially in the large-scale dismissal, It's like it's something that is still yet to happen, yet it's already there.
Yes.
Pick and Pay, which is the most common place, has introduced an automated system about your groceries. You take your groceries, you pack them yourself, you pay, you go. There's no teller, there's no two-pack there.
That's right.
So that means, therefore, that you automate the system. But that's one component of the 4IR process, which is now a self-service automated system. Now, as a thinking what we can do, we've created a target that out of every referral that we get, at the very least, we must save 35% of those that are facing dismissal. We've achieved the 41%, which is more than what we targeted.
Mm-hmm.
But the concession that you get depends on what is at issue. Sometimes it's difficult to reach certain concessions because even like in the case that I've just given you now, where even if you upskill and reskill a person, but there's no available position for them to do so,
yes,
you can't save it.
Mm.
That's why we can't achieve the 100%. But where upskilling is able to save the jobs, we do so.
Mm.
That's why that goes together with the presidential program called the Temporary Employment Relief System, which during the retrenchment process, that a certain fee is paid to the employee while we're considering options instead of somebody being outside and being without a job. Because if you're going to tackle unemployment and poverty in the society, let alone the issue of equity,
yes,
you can't talk that while leaking jobs at the same time.
Mm.
Because then your rate of 29% will continue to be 29 or it will climb up because you're not closing the leaks. And one of the biggest leaks is the mass retrenchments that we're talking about.
Yes.
So my concern with the 4IR and our processes in the discussion, there has not been proactive discussions and plans and disclosures about what the plan is for the next 5 years.
Yes.
So who you recruit today must fit the profile of the next 5 to 10 years, not today.
Mm.
And if it's like that, then you know what 4IR is, you know what systems you automate, you know which one is affected by the gig economy, you know the artificial intelligence impact, then you know about digitalization and robotics. But if in all the conferences that I'm attending, especially on organized basis, when I play these videos and raise these issues and bring the mass attention and bring the source, the majority looks amazed.
Mm.
Now, when you get a notice of your attention because the machine is replacing, said why? But my worry is that it does not happen at the notice time. There is a time where this is conceived, it's going to happen.
Yes.
But at what point do you engage?
It's very tricky.
Now, in the concession, these are the type of issues that we look at. Some, if 4IR is not the only issue. Other than the issue of specialization, sometimes because of the company that is badly managed. That's why we have a partnership with the productivity SA that specializes in turnaround solutions.
Yes.
We then say, please, can you look at this company before it collapses? Others are going through issues of, you know, insolvency. And there's insolvency practitioners that are involved. Then you say, can this be turned around? If you are able to turn it around in a partnership format like that, then you are contributing positively to the less job lost, you are improving your unemployment rate, you are contributing to the poverty alleviation and unemployment.
Hmm. Cameron,
so you need to have a global understanding of all those factors, and that's what our commissioners look at,
yes,
when they reach concessions.
Cameron, you didn't anticipate the kind of workload that you're now burdened with. So going forward, what's the expectation? And a key issue has to be, are you being provided with the necessary resources or capacity as the, you know, the caseload piles up?
Let me confess, our projections were 50% less than the reality we're seeing now.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
50%, because if you look at the caseload, it's double what we were projected. We are now projecting a 25% increase over and above what we're seeing now.
Hmm.
And we're mobilizing resources because our resource of execution is commissioners. So we need human resource. And the process of appointing a commissioner is quite a lengthy one. It's obviously here.
Yes.
Because the training involved is influences all of that. But we've got a revolving door where we recruit every year. But it must respond to the circumstances of the labor market as we're talking about them now.
Yes.
So that we're able to respond to the challenge. But we have some relief from the Department of Employment and Labor, where they provide us some money to be able to deal with this. Because if you give us a new jurisdiction, it needs more cases, but it requires also a concomitant resource to be able to deal with it.
Exactly.
But at the moment, the team is stretched to the limit, I can tell you that.
That was Cameron Murajane. He's the director of the CCMA.